This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
We saw impressive strength in the soy complex on the day Thursday, and that led the grain and oilseed markets to the upside. Welcome into Market Talk. We appreciate you making us part of your day once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here. Thanks for joining us as, again, a really impressive move to the upside in the soy complex on Thursday, with beans the leader, bean meal though really, really strong. Some unconfirmed rumors that China maybe have bought some soybeans from the U.S., some old crop soybeans at that. We're going to talk about the impressive moves in Thursday's soy market and in the trade overall with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing. He is going to join us coming up here in segment two and three on the program today to discuss what we saw in Thursday's trade action. We're also, later in the show, going to have a conversation about pulse crops, the current state of the pulse industry, what we're seeing for this current crop year, what are things looking like across the region. We're going to also learn about some news from Columbia Grain International and the acquisition of some facilities across the Northern Plains. Their president and CEO, Jeff Van Pevenage, is going to join us coming up here at the end of today's Market Talk, so stick around for that. Well, again, very strong markets were seen on Thursday in the trade, led by soybeans and the entire soy complex. For instance, soybean meal for August, that was up $32 a ton at $513.70, with December up $22.60 a ton, $420.70. We saw August beet oil up 96 points, 66.04. Front month August beans up 57 at 16.15. November beans up 48, 14.17 and 3/4 on the day. So again, really great strength in the soy complex. I talked with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at Stone X, about the strength in the soy market on the day Thursday. I talked to Arlen about mid-session. I asked him his thoughts in the soy complex and whether or not he thought the computer algorithms were amplifying the move, or if there was something else underlying. Here's what Arlen had to say about that and other thoughts about Thursday's market trade action.
I definitely feel like the algos are amplifying the move in the soybean complex as the market is going higher, but it's reflective also of a kind of a change in focus. Not that anything has changed that much, but the trade is more focused. To this point this week, the trade has been more rotating money out of the commodities into the equities, trading recessionary fears in the commodity sector while really believing that they've priced in a recession in the equity markets. But and that's continuing in the energy market today as we've got a new six-month lows for crude oil prices. But the grain and oil seeds are more focused on weather today. As we look at the weather forecast, we have some chances for rain in the western Midwest this weekend. Those rains are going to be critical because heat builds back in next week. And really, for much of the rest of the month of August, it looks like we're going to be dominated by a pattern that brings a lot of heat west of the Mississippi River, occasionally going east of the Mississippi River, but mostly focused on the west. And we're going to need those rains to help the crops get through that heat period. There's some rains in that forecast, but the market's more concerned today, putting some risk premium back in.
Now, I wonder as well, the China, Taiwan, U.S. Issues going on here this week. As you look at that situation, how much is that still playing into the trade action here as we get towards the end of the week, Arlen?
I don't think it's playing much of a factor in the grain and oilseed markets today, because frankly, if it was, it would be bearish because we're very dependent on exports to China and to Taiwan for that matter. And Taiwan's under a de facto blockade right now as China does military exercises all around it in six different zones surrounding the nation. So I think that would be more of a bearish factor. The market is discounting that right now, that it's going to impact demand, and it's focused on weather. The broader markets, though, are focused on China and Taiwan and what's happening there and the risks that it presents. It's interesting to note, as we looked at different scenarios that could possibly, by which China could possibly reunify Taiwan, one of those scenarios is simply to do a blockade. We know that it really doesn't want to go in a scorched earth type of mentality like Russia did in Ukraine, because it wants to preserve the economy of Taiwan. It wants to preserve the semiconductor business that's in Taiwan. So one of the options is a blockade. Now, there's no indication that this is that event, and I think the timing is a little bit early for that, but frankly, we won't know that for certain until we see what happens when the military exercises end on Sunday.
Arlen, corn and wheat. Corn struggling a bit, it appears, even though it is higher on Thursday with wheat markets. Saw a bit of spread trading early Thursday session with spring wheat higher and winter wheat lower. What are your general thoughts with quarter wheat? Anything different there as we work through the trade this week?
The general sense of the market is that if this weather forecast for the remainder of August verifies, the crop that's probably most vulnerable is soybeans, followed by spring wheat. And so we saw those crops be the first to really start to move higher as this morning's forecast came out and U.S. trade desks opened up. But once that started happening and corn and the winter wheat market started following, there's more money involved in the winter wheat market, so they quickly caught up with spring, even though they're less affected by this weather pattern. The winter wheat will be more affected if this La Nina pattern holds through the fall, as they anticipate. That's a little bit early to trade that. Corn, there's a sense that the crop has been made already. I think that's a little bit presumptuous to say at this point, because grain fill can still be significantly influenced. But we're really seeing a lot of soybean corn spreading. I think that's favoring soybeans right now because of the sense that soybeans are more vulnerable to this weather pattern than corn.
And briefly, in livestock trade, hogs are holding some green numbers. We saw good weekly export sales for pork. Cattle is a little more mixed to lower. Any thoughts in the protein sector today, Arlen?
Yeah, we saw some very disappointing drops in pork composite product price, the big drop there. But the market kind of shrugged that off this morning. And overall, we've been seeing amazingly strong product demand and tighter supplies. And so that's continuing to support the lean hog complex. Not so much the cattle complex, where we're seeing feeder cattle demand definitely hurt by these higher corn prices. That's spilling over into the fat cattle market. And we're already trading above where the fat cattle market is, so that leaves it vulnerable then for a little bit of a setback.
And again, that is market analysis and commentary with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. I talked with him about mid-session on the day Thursday, examining all the strength in the soy complex, as well as talking about the U.S.-China tensions over Taiwan and the crude oil market sinking as well. A lot of important stuff going on in the market trade right now. I mentioned the soy closes earlier. Corn on the day Thursday, September was up 10 3/4, 6.02 1/4. December corn up 10. 6.06 1/4. In the wheat market, September Chicago up 18 3/4, 7.82 1/2. September KC wheat up 24 3/4, 8.60 1/4. And spring wheat, September up 19, 8.94 1/4. We are going to discuss all of the markets. We're going to dive in coming up next with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing. He joins us after the break as we're back with more market talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to talk about a rather impressive day in the grain and oilseed market seen on Thursday, we welcome in Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing. And Dwayne, great to have you back on Market Talk, sir. How are you?
Hey, not too bad. About yourself, Jesse?
Hey, I can't complain, Dwayne, and I don't think we could complain about Thursday's market action in the grains and oilseeds either. This soy complex, man, let's start there. Yeah. What happened on Thursday? Was there something to this? Was this a case of the algos amplifying the move to the upside? Is it weather? I mean, is it the China-U.S. tensions? What could you point to here in this soy market?
I guess I think that the rumors are that China's in there buying some more of our soybeans. And it's not the new crop even, it's the old crop. I've seen a number of 3 cargoes of old crop beans. Well, as you know, Jesse, we don't have a lot of old crop beans left. Actually, the way the soybean meal market has acted, it acts like it's going to run out of supplies before we get to harvest. So, you know, just the rumor that China's buying old crop from us will send this market skyrocketing. Light volume, though, it's not like the fund traders are getting behind this in a massive move and, you know, we've seen the V bottom low or anything. I still think overall what this market's doing is making a large, wide pattern that's going to be sideways for probably a couple of months. But for some reason, I am starting to feel a little bit more like maybe we've seen the lows. Maybe the harvest lows are in. And maybe that's funny to say this early in the year, but it seems like we said them earlier all the time as we kind of narrow up on the range of what the estimates are for the yield. So, you know, but it gets back to the rumor that China was maybe buying and made some futures markets jump in to be buyers here today as well.
Well, Dwayne, you mentioned China buying. You know, obviously the U.S.-China tensions with Taiwan and House Speaker Pelosi's visit there this week. I still think there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding that. There's essentially a blockade of Taiwan happening right now by the Chinese. And you bring up China maybe in the market buying soybeans. One has to wonder, okay, are they doing this in preparation for something else? what's going on there?
Oh man, I know. I hate to even think that, but it is possible. Yeah. Earlier in the week, we're diving down because of possible negative China-U.S. relations, right? And yes, I'm not sure why Nancy had to go there. It just, to me, just, you know, it's like petting a cat the wrong direction. Just, I don't think we needed to do that to China. But whatever, that's politics being played there, of course. But they are short soybeans. They didn't buy as much during their COVID lockdowns, and they didn't like the higher prices this past year. So when the market does dip, I think they're there to buy. Now they're buying as much from Brazil as they can. And the story is that Brazil's ran out of supplies, so they're going to buy just enough old crop from us to just get by. And then probably watch and see how the new crop does in Brazil before they buy a ton of our beans. But you're right to question demand moving forward. You know, Brazil, we're expecting a huge crop because they're going to expand their acres again. And there's no doubt with these tensions, China's going to buy from Brazil before they buy from us.
Well, and on top of that, I know another story that's out there not getting a lot of news is China's looking to buy soy meal from Brazil, I believe. I think there's an agreement out there. So, I mean, you see that. That points to, okay, is China turning more of its attention to Brazil? We already know they've been working on the corn agreement. So it almost feels like maybe a bit of a reshuffling of the deck chairs. And to your point, China just coming to the U.S. just to help kind of get them by right now.
Right, which, you know, them buying anything from us with our tight stocks is enough to create a bullish market. So I understand the move, but you're right. There's a lot of demand questions out there moving forward. That whole soybean meal deal with Brazil surprises me because that's not what China wants to do. They don't want to buy soybean meal. They want to buy the soybeans, crush them at their own crush plants. So if they start importing meal from Brazil, it's just going to make their crush margins that much more negative in their own country. So that one surprises me, but I guess... You know, it's China. I'm sure they know what they're doing. But no, I question demand moving forward, too. And it's the time of year, it's hard for me to get bullish because there's too many demand questions. We're still going to question the crop size in the U.S. until October, really, until we get that October USDA report. We won't know. But we'll narrow it in next week to find out a little bit more about the crop we've got here. But it's maybe not as bearish as I was the last time I was on your show. I just starting to get, but not bullish. I think we're just going to create a sideways pattern that hopefully I can just trade back and forth a while here.
Well, I know as well, you and I were chatting before we went on the air. We've even seen a few guys exit hedges here with just the way this market is looking right now as we get to the end of the first week of August.
Yeah, and that's under my recommendation. We were really pointing towards holding on to hedges until August 12th. I thought, you know, it's just smart risk management to have hedges on through that report. Just got this weird gut feeling this morning that, you know, this could be some fun buying. Maybe they push it a couple of days up. And, you know, maybe it's just time to exit some hedges right now. You know, I got some guys that did some hedging really well this year, and I just don't want to see those profits disappear. Like, again, I'm not saying it's time to flip hedges and go long by any means. It's just, maybe we've made those harvest lows and can go sideways here for a little bit. So yeah, we just started to lift some hedges for a few guys here. Now that it's up as sharp as it is today, we might wait for tomorrow or the next day, but see if it rains in Iowa over the weekend. That's another reason why the markets are up today. It looks like we're going to get rain in South Dakota, which I'm tickled about, but it kind of misses Iowa. And the drought monitor came out this morning showing a drought increase in Iowa. So before, when I was a bear, I kept on telling everyone, watch Iowa, watch Illinois. And they kept saying they got great crops. And I'm like, well, that's two very important states. But if Iowa starts to trend dry a little bit, maybe that warranties a little bit of a weather rally here in the soybean market.
Well, and I think that goes as well even into corn and maybe spring wheat on the weather front as we look at these hot temperatures, the forecast across much of the Western Belt up into the Northern Plains. But as you mentioned, maybe not quite as hot as expected and some of that rain in the forecast. Weather's still a wild card, though, here, especially with grain fill, pod set. I was just in Iowa. Crops that I saw looked pretty good. I'm not going to say it looked like a record breaker by any means, but looked pretty good. Now, what's that look like in another week or two, to your point, if they don't catch rains in Iowa and in Illinois, Dwayne?
I know. It's a real good question. I mean, for the most part, corn should be, I want to say made, but it should be in Iowa. Yes, you got grain fill, so you could lose some test weights, which is bushels in the end, but you know, the range of the yield of the Iowa corn crop, the range in estimate should really be narrowing up here. And we should be looking at trend line and maybe a little bit above trend line. And if Illinois is at trend line or above, well, then if we're going to be yielding a 177 in the nation, the rest of us have to really pull down, because those are two very important states, like I've said a couple times in this interview here. We got some spots, Southeast South Dakota, very dry there. Silage cutters are going to be going, you know, borderline disaster for some. So we have areas, but we got to remember the trend line yield is actually 180. USDA knocked it down those three bushels to 177 due to the late planting. So I don't know if we're going to dip as much as some of these early estimates are to the 172, 173. To me, I'm still in a range from a 176 to a 180. So I'm talking bullish and exiting hedges, but yet I'm still talking a pretty high yield for the U.S.
Well, I know coming up on the 12th with that report, we're going to have that resurvey of North and South Dakota and Minnesota. Do you expect a major change in any numbers with that resurvey, Dwayne?
Not much of a change at all, but the change I do see is actually higher soybean acres, which I think everyone would expect. I'm going to say lower soybean acres, but boy, the setup was perfect to just keep planting late. And I can tell you from the stack of acreage reports I'm still going through here in Keene, and farmers kept right on rolling and they did paperwork later. $15 beans, it didn't matter that it was June 15th. They kept planting. The weather was open that last stretch. So I think USDA did their best guess, and they surveyed farmers. And they said they're going to try to plant. I think they did. I think they got a lot of that beans planted. But I'm talking minimal adjustments from what USDA printed before.
Now, here this last week, the crop progress report, North Dakota corn jumped up big time, which was very surprising. Now the best good to excellent rating in the country. But I also wonder, if we saw more soybean acres, is that a smaller, smaller set of averages there, Dwayne?
Yeah, it just, I hate to say it for our North Dakota growers, because I'm one of them. We farm a little bit in North Dakota as well, too, but it doesn't matter. Remember how many prevent plant acres we had. I mean, we're looking at what, 2.5 million acres of corn in North Dakota, and we're looking at like 11 million in Illinois. So that's what I mean by North Dakota would have to be really bad to pull the average down. That 5% jump this last week in good to excellent for corn in North Dakota caught me off guard too. I mean, we had some rains, but maybe what it is the corn is so far behind that it's just shooting up and looking better than it has before. You know, some of my corn fields, I always like, after they get tall enough, I can't look out to see in the middle of them. So maybe there's a little bit of that happened in North Dakota. We got to get by frost a little while until we can put that crop in the bank, I think.
And again, that is Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing, our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. Coming up, we're going to talk more about the wheat markets and what Dwayne is seeing there. Look at crude oil, which is finding new lows. We'll look at the livestock trade as well. All that more coming up next as we're back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keep Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Hopefully you are doing well. Appreciate you making us part of your day today. Dwayne Bussey is our guest analyst here on the program today. We're going to get back to our conversation with Dwayne here in just a minute. Again, looking at a few of the closing numbers from Thursday's trade. September quarter up 10 at 3 quarters, 602 and a quarter. December quarter up 10 at 606 and a quarter. We saw soybeans for August up 57 at 1615. November up 48, 1417 at 3 quarters. Bean meal up $32 a ton, 513.70. Bean oil for August up 96 points, 6604. September Chicago wheat 18 to 3 quarters higher, 782 and a half. December up 18 and a half at 802. Kansas City wheat September up 24 and 3 quarters, 860 and a quarter. December up 24 and a quarter, 868. Spring wheat on Thursday, September up 18 and a half, 893 and 3 quarters. December up 19 and a half at 908 and a half. September oats up 5.5, 416. Canola up 21.90 at 843.80. Let me look over at the cotton market as well. Just want to get an idea what's happening there. Cotton down 24 points for October at 112. Livestock trade, that was fairly mixed. August live cattle down 20, 137.70. October down 30, 143.65. Feeder cattle August down 27, 179.07. September down 32 at 182.57. And in hogs, August down 35 on Thursday, 120.65. October hogs up 175, 97.60. And December hogs up 122 at 88.62 on the trading day on Thursday. So again, fairly mixed action in the livestock sector. Soybeans and soy products, though, the big winner of Thursday session with some huge moves there in beans, bean meal, and good strength in soybean oil as well. So again, I'm going to be watching those markets. As Dwayne mentioned in segment two, some rumors of China possibly buying some soybeans from the U.S., some old crop soybeans. We're going to be keeping our eyes peeled on that as we move forward. Let's get back to our conversation with Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing here on Market Talk. Let's talk the wheat crop, Dwayne. It's looked like a few times this week we've seen a bit of spreading between spring wheat and winter wheat. But then, you know, Thursday's market trade, we just kind of took off to the upside at all three complexes, getting closer to maybe some early spring wheat harvest. We have a pretty good look at spring wheat crop across the country. What are your thoughts with this wheat market and maybe, you know, spring wheat are kind of our leader right now?
Well, let me tell you first what I'm seeing on the yield side. The very early yields are very, very good. Central South Dakota, some highs as 80 bushels an acre. Those guys are just ecstatic and happy. And, you know, it was a pretty decent summer for them, just enough rain. So yeah, as you get further north into North Dakota, where it really matters, it's going to be a while till they harvest because they planted it so late. I'm a little worried the hot temps during flowering might have hurt it. But remember, North Dakota got more rain, hence the whole corn conditions going up 5% last week. You know, that doesn't happen this late on. So I think we're going to have a very big spring wheat crop. That being said, I think the market's making a very nice bottom here. A technical picture, I love the chart pattern in wheat, really all three classes. I think we're at harvest lows. I think that's really the market that can really grind higher this winter. This Russia-Ukraine situation, of course, as you know, is far from over. Yes, they're getting some stuff harvested. I don't know where they're going to put that crop. And the bigger question is, I don't know if Ukrainian farmers are going to go out and plant winter wheat this fall. Just so many unknowns there, whether they're going to own their field come next year or not. So there's still a very bullish story in wheat that's probably going to be told this winter. The only thing is, when we spiked up to $14, we did a really good job of rationing demand throughout the world. So, you know, wheat demand is down now. But boy, if the supply is down as much as I think it could in 2023, we could have a pretty bullish story yet.
Well, on top of the Russia-Ukraine situation, what about the Southern Plains, Dwayne? I mean, you know, with planting coming up, a very, very big lack of moisture, that could cause problems. And maybe some producers saying, I'm not going to put a seed in the ground if I don't have the moisture there.
I absolutely, and I expect that's exactly what they're going to say. They're going to say, until I see some rains, I'm not going to go out there and plant it. So yeah, that's a very good case to bring up, a very good point that, you know, if we just don't plant the acres, there's a large reduction in production, right? We don't even have a chance then. So yeah, that's a story that's coming up too. And one that's going to keep going. This weather pattern just does not seem to change, especially for the southern plains. You know, the heat ridge in the Midwest may move east, west a little bit and give us some shots of rain around the ridge. But boy, down south, it's nothing but hot and dry.
Let's talk livestock, Duane. This hog market, for the most part, Thursday was to the upside. That August contract maybe taking a little pause, but it's just been strong. It's been on fire. Cash has been supportive. Cutouts have been supportive. Good weekly export sales for pork with China, the top buyer. What are your thoughts on this hog market?
I think one of these times I need to actually buy it on the opening instead of just talking about it at noon is what I think. Because it gapped lower this morning, and yesterday afternoon, the research I did, I went, boy, Duane, I know you're bullish hogs, but you better not buy it. And gap this morning and rocket ship and take off again. Yeah, like you said, good exports, very solid domestic demand. I guess yesterday afternoon, I started to get a little bit concerned that how far is our domestic demand going to go with? You mentioned today's exports were great, and that's good, but I don't think that's going to continue forever, obviously, with our China relations, and they just don't need it. So I'm a little concerned if you get October up to 100, which is another $3 from now, $2.50, that's maybe a time where we start to look to at least buy some put options for our producers. So I still like the market. I keep kicking myself for not buying it because I've been a bull for a while, but it makes me nervous up at these higher levels.
How on the flip side, the cattle market still, you know, did its best to kind of get back around unchanged on Thursday session with some green numbers in fats. But yeah, I look at cattle, weekly export sales weren't that great. Just this cattle market, I know we've talked before, a lot of folks are bullish still this cattle market later in the fourth quarter, but it just seems like we keep pushing that down the road a little bit every couple of weeks, Duane.
Yeah, we do. I know exactly what you're getting at. We all keep talking about the herd liquidation, right? We're going to have smaller numbers soon and the market's going to take off. And yeah, we keep getting reports and they just don't disappear. Slaughter this week is pretty high again, but it's very possible that slaughter is still high because we're bringing up kill cows from Texas, Oklahoma. In fact, I'm hearing some stories of that happening. So actually, the herd reduction might still be happening, which is even more bullish for 2023. Don't let it bother you that we're not taking off here. This is a very strong acting market. Even though we're talking recession, depression talk in the U.S., domestic demand is great. Yes, exports were poor this week, but they're record high so far in 2022. So I'm really excited about that cattle market. I agree. I don't know if the herd liquidation is tight or as small as what some of the real big bulls suggest, but I see a very strong market that I'll be long in and play the bullish side of it until I see something different.
Well, I want to also give us time to talk about energy's new lows in crude oil seen on Thursday. And you know, this obviously we've been at elevated levels. This is a big part of the whole broader commodity sector and the recession picture. What do you make of crude oil here this week?
A little scary is what I make of it. Yeah, down in the 87 mark now versus, you know, where we were not too long ago in that 115 area for some of the back month futures. It's concerning. We have seen, when you look at the weekly energy markets, we have seen gasoline demand back off. People did back off driving a little bit. It did seem like, you know, the higher cost did kind of pinch some maybe late summer vacations. And rightfully so. But we still have issues with supply and due to lack of refineries and getting in the right place. So we still have fairly high prices. But now this is concerning to me. Remember, crude oil, we never really had a pinch of. Last time I checked, our inventory was up 14% year over year, which is frustrating for people to be like, well, why are prices so high? It's because it wasn't in the right location. So it's a really odd deal. Logistics are a huge deal with fuel. I actually, if you don't mind, would take this second to tell guys to buy your diesel fuel for the fall. Not because it's cheap, just because I just want you to have diesel fuel this fall. It just sounds like there's going to be a logistic nightmare there. And that'll be a story I'm sure you and I will talk about in a couple months. I'm not a petroleum expert by far, but I'm smart enough to know to talk to other people who are smart, I guess. And they're telling me to get your diesel fuel. And honestly, on the bottom line, a dollar plus or minus on my diesel price doesn't really affect my bottom line that much. I'm just going to get it and give it on hand here. So, no, the crude market concerns me because what also means is that ethanol profits margins were as low as they've been in over a year this week, I saw. So there you go, back to questioning corn and soybean demand moving forward, right? If maybe the demand isn't as good as we thought, or maybe when you get above $6 and above $14, you trim demand a little bit too.
Well, a great point about diesel fuel. If you got those on-farm storage tanks, fill them up while you can. I think that's a great advice. I want to as well, real quick before we run out of time, just turn our thought to some risk management real quick. Obviously, I think with any of these markets we're talking about, with the continued volatility, don't lose sight. Be smart about your risk management right now as we work through kind of the dog days of summer, Duane.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know we've mentioned I'm lifting some hedges here, and, you know, maybe it sounds like I should have done it earlier this morning. But one thing I'll be looking at is if we rally for 3 days on fund buying or whatever news it is, next week's report is on a Friday. Therefore, you get to Thursday or Friday, you can buy a lot of weekly put options then to get you just through that report, just that big day. So, I might be lifting some hedges, but I'm still concerned about the downside, you bet.
Well, Duane, if folks need some advice, I know they can reach out to you at Bolt Marketing very easily. How can they do that?
Yeah, they can call us here directly at 605-448-2365, or they can check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
Well, Duane, always appreciate you jumping in with us, and we will talk to you again real soon. But with that, I will let you go. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks, Guy.
And again, that's Duane Bussey with Bolt Marketing joining us here today. Find out more online, boltmarketingllc.com. Up next, we're going to have a discussion about pulse crops and some news from Columbia Grain International. Their president and CEO, Jeff Van Pevenage, joins us next as we continue with more market talk on the way right after this.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now as we talk about pulse crops and more, President and CEO of Columbia Grain International, Jeff Van Pevenage. Jeff, great to catch up with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Jesse. Thanks for having me on today.
I appreciate the time, Jeff. Exciting news coming out from CGI, acquiring 8 new facilities across Montana and North Dakota from Gavilon, and I'm sure you guys are excited about this as well. Could you talk about it?
Yeah, we're very excited about it. You know, Marubeni made a decision to divest in a large majority of the Gavilon network, but their focus is to have Columbia Grain be their main lead grain company within the United States and domestically and internationally. And so we consolidated a lot of the Gavilon assets that were sitting in the northern tier that we already have, and have brought those in under our umbrella now. And we've got, you know, a lot of great people that came along with that acquisition, a lot of really good assets. And I think it makes us a very strong network supply chain in the northern tier of the United States. So some of the facilities we had been operating already under some lease agreements, and other ones are new to our network. So it's been a really good experience for us so far, and we're looking forward to really making that machine work for us. So.
Well, and you mentioned just kind of that network, and I would have to think, you know, tying in all these facilities throughout North Dakota, Montana, with existing facilities in the network that you have, it feels like it makes things very robust, Jeff, for CGI.
It really does, you know, and CGI handles a few more commodities than Gavilon was doing in those areas. We're going to be bringing in more dry beans, more peas, lentils, more malt barleys. So more options for growers to deliver into those assets, say in Carrington, New Rockford, Jamestown, and then over into more Montana and Fairview, Montana. I think it's going to be good for the grower as well as good for us.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned, you know, and we talk a little bit about that network being more robust, but we also look at supply chains. And I know that's been a big topic in agriculture here in the recent months and last year. So when you look at the supply chain challenges that I'm sure you guys have encountered, where do things stand right now? How are we looking when it comes to some of the supply chain issues, exports, et cetera? Where do we stand right now?
You know, transportation is still a big problem. You could say it's gotten better, but the overall movement of grain through the June, July, August period is usually a slow period. So I would hope that it would be better, but we still struggle in the container mode. So a lot of these specialty crops, it's still difficult to get enough containers to really keep your system going. Still really high prices in the container world, still high prices in the bulk vessel world as well, getting better. But there's a lot of that last mile in the rail system is kind of a little bit broken still and needs to get worked on. I believe it's a lot about labor problems throughout our system and lack thereof. We experience it as well at our own facilities, but we've got to get better on it to be more reliable as suppliers. It's a big supply chain. There's many people involved in it. We've just got to get it fixed.
Well, and you brought up those rail issues, and I was going to mention that as well. You know, it is tied to a lot of the labor discussions and a lot of talk with folks in D.C., with the Surface Transportation Board, et cetera. When you look at rail with CGI's locations, is it more of a short line railroad problem? Is it a major line railroad problem, your class one railroads, or is it a combination of everything that you're seeing?
You know, it's really class one railroads that in our opinion, haven't lived up to their end of the bargain lately. I understand they're struggling, you know, to have the labor that they need, and they're trying to run efficient business as well. But it's really been a difficult on the industry, not just Columbia Grain, but the overall industry is very unsatisfied with the service.
Well, Jeff, let's talk a little bit, shifting away from service, let's talk about this year's growing season, this year's crop that is growing right now. When you look at different pulses, dry beans, peas, lentils, et cetera, what are you hearing from growers across the country? How are things looking here this year?
This year has been one of huge emotions in the growing season. You know, we sat in Montana and we have, you know, droughts going in right to the 1st of June. Didn't think we'd get crops there. In the meantime, it's flooding in the Red River Valley and we can't get the crop in the ground there. And we've really turned the whole thing around. So the corn and beans that got in the ground look great. And, you know, just a little behind where they should be in a normal year, but everything looks really good right now. This winter wheat crop in Montana, for the most part, came off well. Spring wheat crop is looking good. We've got some early harvest going on peas and lentils. Yields are at least average. Some of them are above average. And we think the best is yet to come in those pulse crops. We're really optimistic about how this year is going to stack up for us and how it's going to stack up for the supply chain, because there's plenty of product, it looks like to me.
Jeff, how about prices for growers on the pulse side? Are prices remaining strong with other commodities? I know we've seen volatility in some of the corn, bean, wheat commodities, but when you look at pulses, what's price action doing right now? How do things look there for growers?
Unfortunately, I would say price action in the pulse crop looks to me like it's going to soften to some degree. We had really high prices last year. We had tight supplies. Crops look better this year. I'm actually very concerned. A lot of these pulses are into that Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. And there's a lot of foreign exchange issues there right now. Colombia, one of the larger buyers of lentils from the United States, the foreign exchange is just horrible down there. And those buyers are having a hard time stomaching the foreign exchange right now. So I think growers need to really be aware of what's going on in the world, particularly in foreign exchange. But I would have to say overall, the trend to me looks like most lentils, peas, chickpeas will probably tend to trend towards lower. You know, we've seen the wheat prices break back a lot here in the last month. That kind of will bring the expectation down on pulse crops as well. So I would say right now, as you're harvesting, think about getting some marketing going on, because it doesn't look like a bullish market going forward.
With that, Columbia Grain International President and CEO Jeff Van Pevenage, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Market Talk. Coming up tomorrow, a conversation with Naomi Bloom of Total Farm Marketing. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.